from State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Thank you to our guest today. We just had a great conversation with Lucas Giolito. Also, Jesse, thank you for giving us the official news that David Ross is going with Chris Bryant at the top of the order for 2020. And not going to be a small sample, even if he struggles. It sounds like they're going to commit as best they can to having Chris Bryant lead off. Thank you to Randy Merkin and Chris Bleck. Job well done, as always. It's time for Crosstalk.
I think Lotto that should be Ian Happ's job, by the way.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. You don't want to do it, but that's what I want to do. Switch hitter.
Brian or Rizzo makes sense to me. I like that.
Carmen, Crosstalk is brought to you by Al Pomonte Buick GMC. Carmen. Shop online at apbuickgmc.com or come visit in person at 364 West Grand Avenue. It's in Elmhurst.
For the record, Mark on Twitter says, 16 was a great year for the Piedmontese and Tuscan wines. Classic producer. Nice pull, Carmen.
There you go.
So you see, maybe you shouldn't have opened it
I
so early.
I heard you were really upset with John.
No, $40 bottle of wine, Yurko.
I mean, he's making like it's nothing. I mean, he's
sounds
he's
like you're upset.
Oh, first of all, Carmen got me a nice bottle of bourbon. I didn't even mention that fact.
Well, I got him two gifts, yeah.
Right.
What is throwing it on the carpet? I don't know what that is.
My point was I was trying to find something, you know, you can smell it, you can taste it, you can lick it, it doesn't make a difference. You can throw it on the rug. It don't matter.
Why do I want to throw it on the rug?
You got to taste it. The point was you got to do something so outrageous, it doesn't matter. Okay. You got to taste the wine to understand what the hell the wine
is. If someone ever, as a nice gesture, gave you a $40 bottle, would you be like, it only costs $40? I mean, are you kidding me?
Nor would I throw it on the rug because it'll stain. I didn't know if that was like code for something that I was missing.
It's Yurko at his best. Hey. It's only as Yurko could
throw it on a carpet.
Do you have levels depending on the friend and the parameters of a bottle that you bring to a friend's house when you...
My friend, if I'm getting him a gift for the holidays, I get a bottle of Opus 1.
That's true. Yurko did give me that. Yeah. Well, and like 2 years ago...
I hope you only have a couple of friends.
I know.
Well, I was going to say,
you have a lower tier of friends where you're bringing something different,
Prisoner's my low-end wine. That's what I go with.
That's your low-end wine?
2 years ago.
That's solid.
When I didn't also get him a bottle of bourbon. See, I doubled up this year. 2 years ago, I just got him a bottle of wine. The bottle was over $100.
Yes, it was. Yes.
That's
generous.
This was like a throw-in to his Christmas gift this
Johnny,
year.
Johnny, I think you just pooped on the relationship.
Not with me and Carm. No. Listen, we insult each other every day.
Do you know the bottle of wine that you gave me that's even better than the Opus 1? That Skipstone you gave me.
Oh, yeah. It's a beauty.
Oliver's
Blend. You haven't opened the Opus 1, have you?
I've opened one of them. He gave me two.
Ooh, wow.
Back-to-back years.
Wow.
And I'm still sitting on one of them.
And you know, I
maybe open next time Sylvie comes over.
I see an Opus 1 every once in a while.
Throw it on the carpet. See if it sticks.
See if it sticks. See what happens.
Last time I was over, he opened up the good bourbon.
That's where we finished it. The Michter's 20 year. Yes.
Wasn't that nice?
Drinking Johnny gift giver. That's what you're doing.
I can't wait to get
Johnny the gift giver
to Carmen's house one day.
Yeah, you'll be drinking all of the booze you gave
Tommy. I've been invited to your house a number of different times. Unfortunately for me, I have not been able to make it up. Even when I'm up in the Lake Forest area, which I have been a number of different times, I try to call Tommy Wodge, and he's either in South Carolina at one of his many properties that he owns, or back in Boston visiting family.
Not true.
You know, he's doing something, you know, which is wonderful. I mean, I love the fact this kid's all over the world. But I give him a call. I haven't even been invited to Carmen's.
Well, I feel the same way about the kids' parties. You know, like, you and I have raised kids.
Our kids are raised.
Right. I mean, maybe we'd like to go and enjoy the fifth or sixth birthday of a child. We walk down memory lane.
We can be smart Alex,
and we can bring gifts.
We can watch them parent their children or...
And then leave.
You guys really want an invitation to one of our child's birthday?
Birthday? Little Buck or Bronco.
I don't think he'd like it. I mean,
maybe an invitation, come up and see a ball game one day.
We'll RSVP. It not necessarily means we'll be there, but we'd just like to be asked. Okay.
God forbid. I'll ask. My heavens.
Right. When my kids are grown, if I work with someone or have a friend who's got young kids and they have a party, I don't want to be invited.
Right.
That's it.
I don't want to be invited to a birthday party now.
That's the way they're rationalizing not inviting you and me to a party because we're two old men now.
My kids are getting old enough now where they're drop-off birthday parties where you don't have to stay and socialize anymore. It's good.
The beauty, Tommy, is we'd be able to be there and say, yeah, I remember when I made that mistake parenting my children.
No, I'm sure we're making
plenty of
mistakes.
Hey, Johnny, can I get you a beer at the counter?
Yeah, I'm sure. Exactly.
As we're not chasing children?
Right, exactly.
I know we're not perfect.
I'm going to enjoy one of these little bonbons over here. Hey, who brought the babka? That's what I'm saying. Thank you very much.
So what do you guys think of KB leading off? You okay? Cool
I like
with that?
It. Yeah, you know what I want? I want something that's standard and consistent.
Yeah.
And KB told us a couple of years ago, said, look, all I want to know is that every day I come to the ballpark, I'm in the same spot each and every game.
Yeah. So you want something standard and consistent.
Yeah.
So let's put the guy who we're going to trade in 2 weeks.
Well, that's
lead off. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about a deal with Colorado for straight up third baseman.
Oh, that wasn't going to
happen. Now we're talking about he's the solution for the for leadoff.
Well, if you're not going to trade him, you might as well,
you got
to
use him. I get it. I find it humorous. They continue, and I love those guys. They continue to try to patchwork the leadoff position, whether it's Schwarber 1 year or Happ another year or Elmora or Rizzo. Now we're on to Bryant. Why is this? Because your front office has failed in solidifying a leadoff hitter. That's why. Ever since Fowler. That's the fact.
Or have they had one and they haven't used him? If they had Anthony
Maybe
Rizzo.
This is a sign they're going to sign him to an extension.
Maybe
now this all is of a sudden everything's good.
Maybe this
all
is a sign good. That they don't want to trade him this year.
You know what? It's all good. They got rid of that evil Joe and Rossi's on the top
the great
step.
David
it's all good.
Ross is here. Is there a wager? And maybe I could find out from Carmen and from Mikey North on the odds couple. Is there a wager out there, first Cubs player to punch Ross right in the face?
I don't think so.
Is there one out there?
Who's going to punch him?
I just said some point. Don't you think he's just going to irritate
the
living
ancient? Got some thick forearms, man. When he returns one back, Johnny, it may sting.
Better chance of Rossi dancing with you.
Here's what I want to know from you. Here's what I want to know.
I just want to know if he's, this guy and that guy and this guy and everything. At what point does a Kyle Schwarber just drop an elbow on him?
Here's what I want to know. Your arrival of the Astros.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You face them early in the year.
Right.
What are you doing?
That's the one question we didn't ask Lucas either because we were just running out of time. I wanted to ask, what do you think the retribution
I'll tell
be?
You what I would do. As a manager, what do I do?
Right. You're either a star player or you're a manager.
I intimate the fact that I think we're going to come after you. We're going to come after you. We're going to send a message. We're going to defend the league. We're going to defend the piece of tin or the piece of metal, whatever they call it. And I keep them on edge the whole day, and I have my guys just play it straight.
Yeah.
So you threaten them that they better be on the lookout.
No. In the thing, you're just like, well, you don't know what's going to happen. Players are human. We obviously don't advocate anything crazy like this, but, players have their own emotions, and they might get the better of them.
Did you say? Was it you that
said that? We'll encourage them not to let it get the better of them, but we don't know what's going to happen. So you keep it on edge. You don't do anything, and you play baseball, and hopefully you sweep the Houston.
Every time Altuve comes to the dish, your pitcher steps off and allows the crowd to boo the hell out of him.
That's what I would do. Like, the first time he comes,
and
they play at guaranteed rate. If I'm Giolito, here's what I do. It's the top of the first inning. Here come the Astros. I step off the mound.
That's good.
And I let him hear it.
That's pretty good.
And rev the crowd up.
Let everybody boo.
Because it's usually the pitcher getting on the mound and then things die down. Hey.
I like it.
And then you whip their ass
I don't know
on
if
the
they
scoreboard.
Care.
Yeah.
We were talking about how would you troll them? If you hit a home run, would you take off your shirt rounding the bases? Like different things. Like that was from a Twitter
listener. Take off your pants. So
yeah. Bad. There you go.
Take off your
We'll
pants.
Say, babe, we'll find the acorn in the grass.
I'm sure fans will have
plenty.
There's no grass.
Come on now.
The acorn might be there, but there's no grass.
You got grass on your infield?
Ooh, hey.
You don't have the lawnmower 3.0? What's the matter with you?
The elder statesman.
You better manscape it, buddy.
I got the old Abraham Lincoln going on.
Yurko's like the Cubs back in the day at Wrigley. When the Cardinals would come to town, he'd want to slow them down so he'd grow the infield
grow the grass. That's right.
Wait a second. You got a giant hat that you put on somewhere down there? You got the Abraham Lincoln?
That's what they say.
Yeah. Come on. You're out there on the market. You got to be manscaping. Are you out of your mind?
You got to clean that stuff up.
He manscapes. I've seen him naked. He manscapes.
Thank you, Cameron.
This morning?
Not this morning, yeah, but
no, this was in the office earlier today.
You know that? Yeah. Hey, you know, we've been in the locker room together.
Carmen and I get naked in the office and just assess things.
We don't get naked in the office.
Have you seen that, Merck?
You saw my stomach this morning.
I did. He has a big...
I got a festering boil, man.
Let me see it.
I'm not letting you see it.
Why?
He sits down.
I showed you the wound on my leg yesterday.
I'll show you a wound on my leg.
Here's what he does.
Show me the boil.
He walks in today. He sits down in the office. We're 4 feet from each other, if that. He sits down in his chair.
Popped it into your
he
mouth.
He picks up his
I tried
shirt.
To.
And now I'm looking right at it. I was like, oh. And he's taking Neosporin and rubbing it on it. Yeah. Right? And I'm like, dude.
You should try to pop it into your
what
mouth.
What are you doing?
And then, I popped it this morning. I pinned it, too.
And then you get the full play-by-play from Yurko, and he goes, I can't help myself. I was scratching in the middle of the night. It started bleeding everywhere. And he's got his shirt up, and he's showing me. I'm like, let me see your boil.
A better chance of me popping you right now.
Why? Why are you protecting your boil? You just talked about having a high grass infield, but you're not going to show me. Your boil?
I'm showing you neither.
I'm telling you.
I am showing you neither.
You know what? Our friendship is teetering.
It's not pretty to look at. I saw it right away. I'm like, what happened? It looked like an infection.
My belly button, it's infected, Carmen. That's why the Neosporin is going on.
All over it.
My belly button looks like a cave.
I found a peanut M&M in there the other day.
I didn't put it in there. I found one in there from when I was eating them. It must have fell in there.
That's a huge... A peanut M&M is too big to fit in anybody's.
You literally would have to go spelunking in my
It's like the center my of belly the Milky Way.
You said
like
peanut,
hole.
Right? Yeah, peanut. In your belly button?
Peanut mm-hmm. his belly button. It's
just
belly.
Show me the boil. His belly button? I am not going to show you the boil.
Why are you protecting your boil?
When it heals, I'll show you. When have you ever been modest about anything? I'm modest mouse.
Why don't
today.
You show me the boil?
I'm not showing you, Tom.
That's awful.
I'm going to take my headphones and I'm going to put them on your neck and I'm going to start choking the sweet life out of you.
You don't want to see it. Trust me.
Show it. Show it. Let's put this on. Give me one of those. Put it on the Dr. Pimple Popper or whatever that girl's called.
You could put the new sticker from Carmen Yurko oil over it to censor it.
I'll pop you. Honest to heavens, you're bordering right now.
Why don't you pop your boil instead?
I tried this morning.
That's pretty good.
I took a safety pin and jabbed it into my boil.
What you should have done is you should have come down here and had Pat Boyle pop your boil.
The boil.
Wow.
You know what?
Boil on the pregame show tonight.
Did you heat up the pin? Or?
Oh, yeah. You got to heat it up.
Is it alcohol?
Yeah, you don't want that infection.
No, I heated it up. The fire burns everything off.
It does?
Yeah.
You don't need alcohol?
And then that steel just sears the skin. It sears the skin as it goes through there.
Yeah. All right. What's up on
Haven't
the show?
Haven't you ever, like, you've done a blood blister that way in your toenail?
A Brazilian steakhouse, Carm.
You've done
I
that,
I come
haven't
out
you?
There pulling a piece of filet it's out of
disgusting,
there.
Disgusting.
Haven't you taken a safety pin, heated it up, and driven it through your nail?
Yeah. But that's how close we are. He had no problem sitting in the office and just being like, I got to take care of
I'm
this.
Jealous.
I'm comfortable with Carmen. I told you, we've both seen each other naked.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
We're comfortable.
Do I have to get naked to see your boil?
Yeah, no.
I've seen him.
Sure, he's a good kid.
He sees me walking by and he's like, boy, he looks like Cristiano Ronaldo, man.
Sometimes you don't want to size the guy up, but you can't help it.
Yeah,
that happened at the health club recently. A guy comes walking out of the shower.
I get names for you.
Kid, did you know Greg Clark?
Well, but you couldn't help it.
I want to hear this story.
Yeah, he was showing off because he was in.
It
happens. Very physically impressive guy. So, come on. I mean, cover up, right? But he came out, no towel, strutting through the center of the locker room.
And every guy can't help but go, geez, Christ.
Are you kidding me? I mean, you can't help it.
You want to get him to stop next time? Pull your phone out and take a picture.
I bet you could score on the ice with that thing.
Do you remember
Bears linebacker Greg Clark?
Yeah, I did not play with him, but I've heard the story.
You've heard the story? I walked out of the shower one time.
Goodness.
I've heard the story.
I walked out of the shower.
The peaker?
I go, this is ridiculous.
Oh, he's peeking too much?
No, it looked like a field hockey stick.
Oh, it was that prodigious.
Jim Morrissey, who was the funniest guy in the world, used to walk into the shower
former teammate of mine.
Former teammate of mine.
And just scream out loud. All right, everybody, stop looking at me. Every day.
I love Jim Morrissey.
Oh, it was like clockwork.
The best.
I said clockwork.
Clockwork.
He'd walk into the shower every day. Hey, stop looking at me.
Yeah, put a towel
I
on.
Went into the hot tub and I said, just something. Something happened down there so I could sit in that shower like a man, for heaven's sake.
Something.
All right, what's up on the show?
We could play a game today, Carm, because you had Giolito on. We've got Lester on. Let's go Cubs Sox.
Nice.
We've got the starting pitchers on today. John Lester at 3 o'clock. Waddle loves the idea of Bryant leading off.
Why not?
We'll talk more about the Astros scandal, whether or not Manfred should lose his job. Ooh. How would you troll the Astros? And what a realist, like, what's a successful season for you? I had a good conversation with my barista today at Starbucks.
Oh, really? That's always fun.
That's what we were talking about.
Tell her venti?
Yeah, it was Joey. Joey at Starbucks.
Joey.
Yeah.
Bag of donuts.
Oh, yeah. All right, boys, have a great show. Waddle and Sylvie are next. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, so the Cubs are talking about their lineup. Lucas Giolito had some good stuff to say about the Astros.
Yes,
baseballs are in the air for both our Cubs and White Sox. Talking to you about it, 312-332-3776.
Isn't there a game? When is it, Friday? First game of the season, the spring season? Or
let's get this thing going, yeah.
Let's get this going.
And then we get bored with it after a week or two, and we're like, let's get the regular season started. But, hey, we're making progress. Before we throw out the leadoff hitting situation for the Cubs, this is the conversation I had with one of the Starbucks guys across the street today. And something that I've been thinking about for both sides of town is what is acceptable to you for the lowest level of a successful season? Like if you were to say, if you're a Cubs fan and you were to define a successful year, knowing that expectations are lower, because he was a Cubs fan. He was saying, look, my expectations are lower. Maybe they surprise me. I go, well, my expectations aren't lower.
Season.
My expectations are still to win the division. Yeah. I mean, it's win the division or bust still.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
What's your payroll?
It's over $200 million. It's still over the luxury tax.
If you spend over $200 million, your expectation level should be you would be in the postseason.
And then for Sox fans, I think this is a really good topic because I think it's more wide-ranging. You know, a lot of Sox fans tell me 2021's the year. So what's successful this year? I would say I'm all in this year. Winning record, you're saying they win 82 games. 82 in, what is that? 82 in 80.
Unless they've changed the number of games you play this year, which I'm all for, as I've said in the past.
Is 82 in 80 a successful year if you're a Sox fan?
Listen, I'm not a Meller. You're the diehard.
How do they get to 82 wins?
That's the great point.
Because if they start out hot and there's a lot of excitement surrounding them in the city, and all of a sudden they fade in the second half, that's going to be disappointing as a White Sox fan. However, if they're kind of middling and they close strong and show you progress and give you something to be even more hopeful for the next season, then I would be okay with that.
You were a 72-win team last year.
Yes, but there's been lots of additions made.
No, you're right.
And they were a 72-win team with a lot of young players there's a lot of expectations on those young players. And because
you're saying you should have more than 82 wins?
I think it's, look, I want them, I expect them, if they don't get to 84, 85 wins, I will be slightly disappointed.
I'm with you on that. And I think there's different ways you slice it up. Like we talked about this with the Bulls. Would the Bulls this year be a playoff team? We weren't sure. But what we thought we'd be talking about at the end of the year is Lauri Markkanen has defined himself into an all-star. Wendell Carter has developed more of an all-around game. You know, Kobe White had a great rookie year. If the arrow's going up with all your developmental guys, the win total isn't as important. So, like, if you win 83 games, but Mankata grew after a great year last year, and Tim Anderson continues to hit really well for average, and Aloy takes the next step, and Robert really didn't skip a beat going up from all the different levels in his rookie season, and Vaughn came up at the end of the year, and Madrigal has shown you he's an important part, and Giolito's still really good, and Kopech now has you thinking that he could be a Cy Young winner and an ace in the future.
If all that happens, you are going to win more than 84 games. But what is the likelihood that all of that happens at once?
I don't know. I mean, Moncada was great last year. Tim Anderson won the batting title. Aloy set the bar, you know, and
slow start, huge finish.
And think about what he did. And
there were things to be excited about offensively, especially with a lot of the key players who you're relying on going forward. The problem was they really didn't have much of a pitching staff last season outside of Giolito.
Right.
They've put enough money into the pitching staff now where you think you have enough inning eaters, and then if guys like Kopech and Cease come around, you should have a formidable rotation for
once. What did Pecota project for them for? 84?
I think 83? So. I think 84. Maybe 83. Right in that range.
Okay. What does 84 get you?
Depends on how good the rest of the league is.
More than likely 84 doesn't get you in.
Third place in the AL Central, no.
Like 84 got the Cubs. They were in it till the end.
Do five teams make the playoffs or seven teams?
18.
Okay.
18 teams are in.
That hasn't changed yet either. Boy, that went on the back burner quickly, didn't it?
I'm telling you, the more we talk about cheating, the more I believe that was their way of trying to say, look over here, look over here.
Wait till the conversation about vacating the Red Sox World Series in 2018 is on.
Oh, if they announce that they're the Astros cheated and they're going to do that kind of stuff, they're going to announce robot umps the next day.
If the Red Sox are also implicated, I mean, think about it. Think about if, you know, you see how the baseball world has caught fire. Think about if the Red Sox, the next thing that comes out is the Red Sox day, whatever. Okay, maybe it's not. What would be the level of transgression that you'd be able to consume and be okay with versus you're going to have a full conniption fit the way everyone has for good reason with the Astros? Like does everyone have the capacity to lose their mind a second time before the regular season?
Yeah,
starts?
And I think, is that why baseball is taking their time with this now? Like, we had heard it was going to come out. Manfred, I guess, said yesterday that it's going to be like the last week of February. Are they being extra careful on now, what they announce and how they announce it?
Who here has what is the projection for what's going to transpire? They already got rid of Alex Cora.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is they're not going to give the manager a one-year suspension like A.J. Hinch and Jeff Lunau had.
But, I mean, so what?
Chaim Bloom just took over. He's the new man in charge for the Red Sox. He just took over the season.
Haven't heard any chesty responses from Red Sox players, right, outside of Chris Sale?
Chris Sale. But would you do that if you're Chris Sale, knowing that you cheated your way into the eighth? He was a major part of that team.
I'm just saying to you, can you imagine? What happens if we're having the same conversation at the end of this month or early in March?
You bring up a good point. What can they do? The people who are in charge in their front office are no longer there Red Sox won.
Listen, everyone goes to jail on the Red Sox. Hey, you want to appease the baseball universe now? Everyone has to spend time in jail. You have to. I mean, you have to go from the extreme of nobody's in trouble. Now everyone spends a nickel in Chillicothe. That's how you have to do it.
What are you saying then? You know?
I'm joking. Is that how are you going to think about the outrage? How could you punish the Red Sox any more than you just did the Astros? Which just means the bonfire gets bigger.
And that's why it's one of the biggest stories ever in sports history. These are the two World Series winners. These are the 18 champs, and then the Astros were 17. So there's a lot on the table for baseball. 312-332-3776. Whether you want to talk about the Astros scandal and this thing's getting hot. And it, like the debate that I've heard in the last 24 hours, like Waddle mentioned, is this good for baseball? Is this a fire that you're like, oh, that's a cool bonfire right there. I want to get in, roast some marshmallows, warm up your hands. And like, you know, the smell of burning wood sometimes is cool.
Unless it's your house, yes.
Right. But if it's a dumpster fire, then we're like, oh, gross.
Grease fires are not entertaining.
Garbage fire, they're no good. I mean, so people are saying, like, they'll watch more Astros game, that at least we're talking about baseball. I don't see how this is good for the sport. I don't see how any of it is good. I know that in the short term, people are saying, well, yeah, I'm going to watch the Astros. Is anyone going to hit them? Are they going to be as good?
Why don't we talk baseball? If you're interested in White Sox baseball or Cubs baseball, what's happened with the Astros isn't going to have any impact on whether or not you're going to watch more baseball.
And I don't think it's that you necessarily are going to say, I'm going to watch, but you have intrigue. And that's the
start of something,
you know?
But you also now have a lack of trust even more so for the commissioner. Whatever the commissioner introduces now with the new playoff format or pace of play or playoff system, you know, he's already on the hot seat. People are going to batter him. You know, it's like, I don't think
everything's got to be agreed to by the Players Association as well.
They came out with a statement today.
It's not going to be all commissioner
dictating.
We don't trust Roger Goodell as far as we can throw him, and we still watch football.
Football's America's passion.
But we always viewed football differently, at least lately, like I brought up Meller. We can watch a Monday night game, if you're an average football fan, and love every second of it. It's tough to watch just two random teams playing in June that aren't yours.
Yeah, unless it's the Dodgers and the Astros, I'm not probably watching.
Yeah, it's just a different vibe. So, and then the question about our local teams. What would be a successful season for you on both sides of town? Sox fans, what is your successful season? What does that look like? I think the range is larger for you. And Cubs fans, because they haven't achieved what you thought they would achieve, have you lowered the bar? To me, like, that's what my barista said to me. He said, well, my expectations are low. Maybe they surprised me. I'm like, dude, Theo's still our general manager. We still have a really good team. If they don't win the division, it's unsuccessful to me. That's the way I go into a Cubs season.
Is he your barista personally? Or
he's the manager.
Okay. So he's everybody's barista.
He's the manager.
That's the coffee talk. That's the coffee lingo. Everyone says he's my barista.
Well, like, yeah, you know,
Who's our guy at Dunkin' Donuts? What do we call our guy?
Tracy or Ivory? We've got two.
Okay, are they our baristas?
I feel like barista's more of a Starbucks thing.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. He's just our guy.
He's our Tracy.
Yeah, Everyone's got a guy. Yeah. You got to have a guy.
Or Ivory.
I like talking to the people at Starbucks. And he often talks to me about, they'll chat me up on the Cubs. And he said, hey, maybe they'll surprise me this year. And I'm like, well, don't lower your bar. John Lester at 312-332-3776. If you want to weigh in, and Waddle loves Chris Bryan at leadoff. And maybe there are some good reasons to like that, too. It's next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
It's Chris Bryant on ESPN 1000. Do you guys like routine, and would you prefer hitting in the same spot? Or do you like when it's flexible and you hit in a different spot almost every day?
I don't know. I guess it just depends on who you're asking, who you're talking to. I mean, I guess if you're going back and forth between a couple spots, you know, for me, it's second or third. It doesn't really bother me too much. But I guess I can see where, you know, if someone's leading off one game and then hitting seventh and then eighth, it might mess with their routine. And, you know, us as baseball players are definitely creatures of habit, and we like to do the same things every day. And our same routine, our tee work, our flips, our batting practice. So, you know, for me, it's been pretty easy, but I can see how it could affect some of the other guys.
So there you go. That was a couple years ago when Chris Bryant joined us. He's joined us numerous times throughout the years. Always had some good thoughts. And like that time, I remember we looked at each other when we were talking about, hey, they keep changing the lineup. No one gets a chance to settle in. Like, do players like routine? And he confirmed that with us.
I think their two best talkers are Chris Bryant and John Lester. I learn things about baseball and them when they speak to us.
John Lester will join us at 3 o'clock. Phone number to reach us, 312-332-3776. Jesse tweeted this out. And David Ross already indicated that, yes, Chris Bryant would be his leadoff guy. And this sums it up pretty well, that last year the Cubs, on base percentage-wise, from the leadoff position, was a woeful .294. That was last in the league at the leadoff position, last in the majors. Bryant's career on-base percentage is .385. Now,
small sample size, but...
No, that's his career on-base percentage.
Oh, I mean, in his leadoff percentage.
Right. Jesse gave that in the leadoff position, he's at .387, but that's only seven games. I'm talking about his career on-base percentage is .385. So if he gives you his average year getting on base, you have a leadoff hitter who's setting the table by getting on base 39% of the time. Now, do you have guys to bring him around? You know, it would go then Bryant and Rizzo, basically, is what he said. And then it would be Baez after Rizzo. And then probably Schwarber 4, Contreras 5.
I mean, those are four pretty good run producers.
Yep.
I like the consistency, and you have your... Isn't Bryant, maybe Rizzo has a better on-base percentage over his career, but Bryant, it's neck and neck. I always thought, as good as Anthony Rizzo was leading off last year in a smaller sample size, as bad as they were with the leadoff spot, I was always on board for them leading him off consistently.
It was a couple of years he's done well every time they've experimented or gotten him going.
And actually, over his career, Rizzo's a .373 on base.
Okay, so Bryant's got a better overall on base percentage. Yeah, I would have no problem with that. I think I actually like it.
There was a good quote, too, from Ross about the way he, like, works the count. And he mentioned that, you know, he works the count so well, and he gets on base. What a good way to sort of
set the tone.
So, again, I just find it, somewhat humorous, though, that a week ago we were talking about Nolan Arenado for Chris Bryant. Now we're talking about Chris Bryant solving the leadoff position. It's odd. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. You know, people have said, didn't you bet, too, that Chris Bryant would not be here?
Yes.
But by this offseason?
Yes.
That you're betting money on that in 2020 at some time, he's dealt.
But if it doesn't matter whether he's dealt or not, I think he's their best option leading off.
And as long as he's here, you might as well just use him.
Exactly. That's what. And how about this? How about he leads off? Things are going well. You don't get the trade offers that you're looking for. Your team excels going into the All-Star break or the trade deadline. And instead of dumping guys, you're like, hey, listen, we're going to go for this thing. And if for whatever reason Chris Bryant leaves in a year and a half and we get nothing for him, so be it. We're playing good baseball. He's leading the way. I mean, I love the idea.
Carlos is in Portage Park. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You tell us.
Hey, so just wanted to talk about the whole White Sox record being a disappointment this year. I would say if they don't finish within 4 or 5 games of the division, it would kind of be a disappointment to me.
So it's not quite playoffs or bust, but it's competing for the playoffs.
Right.
That's successful in your mind this year.
Yeah, to me, if they show, you know, that they're there and want to compete, and if they just show that they belong, then I think next year could be the year that we win that division.
I mean, isn't the most important thing is seeing young guys continue to make progress like Eloy? Eloy got off to a slow start. What he did in the final 2 months of the season was fantastic. Your hope is Robert, some of the pressure's taken off of him, and he can lean on Eloy to kind of guide him through that moment. He'll probably struggle at the beginning, but hopefully he'll rally towards the end. That your young guys perform well. Whether or not you get to the postseason, of course everyone wants you to get there. But isn't at the end of the season the most important thing is that these young guys have established themselves as key pieces for the next 7 to 10 years.
No, then no one regresses. No one has a Trubisky year. Nobody has a Markkanen year. That even if you don't achieve greatness, that, like, say Eloy still repeats what he did last year.
Yes.
And where you still really like all these guys as players.
And maybe you do get there. Maybe you do shock some people because all the guys you've added, Encarnacion and Grandal and everyone that you've added has playoff experience.
Right. Think about the veterans. So you have Grandal, Encarnacion, Abreu. They all hit home runs. That's 3 right there. You add in Eloy in his second year. Robert went from single A to triple A in 1 year. He looks like he's going to be great. You had Moncada, who established himself last year. Tim Anderson won a batting title. I mean, and now we're not even counting on Madrigal or Vaughn yet.
Well, and think about, like, what the team was missing was a little bit of that experience, that playoff experience. You've got that. Keuchel's got playoff experience. Gio Gonzalez has got playoff experience. I mean, even the dude who's going to throw left-handed because Joe wore his right arm off has a little bit of postseason experience on the other side of town. So you're going to mix this young core with a group of guys that you've added that have playoff experience. Yeah, I get why people think that this team may get to the postseason, but ultimately, I would think at the end of 162, your biggest concern is to make sure, as you said, that your young guys progress and there's no regression.
Yeah. Let's go to Justin in Yorkville. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good.
So I wanted to talk about the Chris Bryant leading off. I think it makes a lot more sense to have him lead off and Rizzo second, because Rizzo pulls it most of the time to right field, and Bryant can go first to third. But last year, you had Rizzo leading off, and Bryan get the single. You're only at first and second. Now a fly ball, ground ball, get you a run in the first inning. Plus, you have your power hitters coming up behind him, which could lead to a bigger inning.
I would add to that, too, Justin. Listen, Ian Happ's the fastest player they have from home to first. Second's Bryant, if I'm not mistaken. And Bryant's a hell of a base runner. Mm-hmm. I know collectively on the base paths last year, they were a hot mess. But getting Chris Bryant on base early in a game, maybe rattling a pitcher, and then having somebody on base that can actually run the base as well, it has the potential to set the table quite well. And now you have some consistency at the top of the lineup.
A lot of people get hung up on the old school stat of the RBI. And, you know, you've been told, if you've been listening for the last decade or so, how that's really a product of the people, you know, getting on base in front of you. But what is still worth, as much as it's ever been, scoring runs.
Right.
And if Chris Bryant is getting on base at a, as you said, Sylvia, 39% clip to lead off the game, and then you've got run producers coming up behind him who you know are going to consistently drive him in.
Who do you think led the team in runs scored last year?
I'll go Javi.
I'd say Rizzo or Bryant.
Chris Bryant with 108 runs scored. And Javi was 89 runs.
I guarantee you Chris Bryant will have more opportunities to be driven in, hitting leadoff. And
yeah, okay. I mean,
more than anything else, too, hitting 1-2, this is the one thing you can take from analytics. You just want your best hitters getting as many as bad as possible.
The thing that I don't want happening, Meller, is us to be sitting here in July talking about the leadoff hitter again. We've done this for years now. We've done this since Fowler left. It was never the wrong move to let go of Fowler and not sign him for that price. But they just, whether it's Zobrist or Hayward or Happ or Almora
barring a trade, I don't think you're going to. I think, like, that's one thing. I don't know if David Ross is the panacea for all that has ailed this team over the last year.
But let's
But I think you're going to have certain things, right, wrong, or indifferent, are going to be more structured. And I think Chris Bryant batting leadoff is one of those things.
All right, John Lester is going to join us. Where's the bar set for John Lester? Does he believe the Cubs can still win it all this year? Lester joining us at 3. The number to get in, 312-332-3776. More coming up.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Lester joins us. He'll do that in about 15 minutes from the desert as the Cubs and White Sox are in spring training. We've had a lot of baseball conversation, maybe more so for February than usual just because of the cheating scandal and everything going on with that. One of our great P1s, and the term P1, preset one on your radio dial. You're in the preset one club, the P1 club. So do that with ESPN 1000. Don't forget to follow us, too, on Instagram, ESPN underscore Chicago. Eric, who listens a lot and is a big baseball fan, smart baseball guy, too, when I said that, look, my expectations for the Cubs are still to win a division. Like, that's how I measure them with success. And he said, Cubs don't have a division-winning team and no money to spend to improve. As of now, they still need to get rid of money to get below the competitive balance tax by the end of the year. And I said, that all may be true, but when I go into a baseball season now with those players on my roster, to me, if you don't win the division, which doesn't have, like, a clear power, then it's still a disappointment
for me.
Who's
got a better roster than you guys?
Don't know. I mean, like, the Cardinal, like, they've had better teams, the Brewers, the last couple of years. But I've always said, pound for pound, like, roster, the Cubs just haven't achieved what they've supposed to.
Unbelievable.
Maybe the Reds. Maybe the Cardinals still. I don't know. But
I don't think there's a team that stands out. Like, somebody asked me the other day, would you be surprised if the Cubs beat your Reds in the NL Center? I said, no. I wouldn't be surprised if the Brewers, the Cardinals, the only team that would surprise me really is the Pirates. They're not going to win the division.
Right.
Other than that, you can paint me a picture for any of the other teams.
You know, this isn't like when Pujols was dominating with the Cardinals. I'm like, oh, the Cubs don't have a chance with how good the Cardinals are. Like, the Cubs still am going into spring training hoping that they all play better and they win the division this year.
It's not a great team, but it's a team that's definitely capable. If they play to their level of expectation that we had for them in 2019, that's a team that can certainly win the division in 20.
Mike's on the south side. Mikey, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
We're great.
Hey, just want to weigh on the cheating scandal topic a little bit. You're asking about if any Red Sox players have come out and said anything. But I don't know if you guys saw J.D. Martinez.
Yeah.
I don't know if he sat down with Ken Rosenthal or who it was, but he pretty much came out and said how everyone needs to kind of move on and get over the whole cheating scandal, which I thought was kind of funny and ironic considering in 18, he had probably the best hitting year of his life, and we find out that the Red Sox were cheating that year. So
I think there's a quote actually here that actually says the Astros are taking too much heat for sign stealing. So I saw the bits of the article where he thinks the Astros bashing is a bit too much in his opinion.
Right. Meller was rationalizing, well, he still knows guys from being an Astro years back. Maybe it's simply because he knows that his team cheated.
Like I said, right. What do you think the response is going to be if, in fact, at the end of this month or early in March, the commissioner releases a report that says the Red Sox were culpable of sign stealing using technology? Doesn't have to be the same level. Maybe they're not. The trash cans aren't being used. Maybe it's something else. But if they're pinched for the same thing,
wasn't it like the Apple Watches? Isn't that what the rumor was?
I mean, that's what
they
was
were
initially.
Warned about that initially. Yeah, I don't know if have you seen a report about what they're like. I have it. Like, I don't know if we're going to actually know until they issue the report about what they were doing.
And do you guys remember? I think it was yesterday. We played some sound from the commissioner from a couple of days ago. The first go around, not the Arizona press conference. But he was explaining why they gave them immunity, why it was so complicated. And he said, after all that, we still, even though it wasn't great for the sport, we still came out telling everybody that we had a bunch of cheaters, almost admitting by saying, hey, maybe some people would like to hide that. You wonder now if they want to hide stuff from the Red Sox.
That's my point is, regardless of what you hear coming from the commissioner's office, how many people, what percentage of people are going to believe what's reported? Isn't there going to be a natural skepticism that's attached to whatever's released?
Manfred already told us that they don't have enough evidence or about the buzzers.
Right.
But it was not a very compelling argument that buzzers didn't happen. And I think we've all seen the video and we haven't gotten a proper explanation that's believable.
Do you know what Manfred said? Manfred said because they told them the truth about cheating in 17, why would they lie about buzzers in 19?
Yes.
That was their rationalization. That's not much finding.
No, it's not. It's not.
Because there's not video of loud buzzers like there was video of large garbage cans being banged.
Now, again, I keep hearing people bellow, why didn't the commissioner suspend these players? The more you read, that wasn't possible. The Players Association released a statement today, I believe, as well, that basically said the same thing, that these guys were not going to be suspended. I guess what you could have done is gone back in time and said, look, if we find out the stuff that we think we're going to find out, there's a very real chance we're going to vacate your title. But the thought of punishing players or suspending players, I don't believe was ever on the table. It couldn't be done. So for everyone clamoring for that, as it's been described, it couldn't happen.
You could blame the Astros for that because Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch did not inform their players
Correct. That
what they were doing was suspendable if they continued to do so.
Correct.
Josh is in Sycamore. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. So this whole Astros sign-stealing scandal has me thinking about the Cardinals hacking scandal and how Chris Correa, the guy who got in all the trouble in the Cardinals organization for hacking into the Astro system, he has adamantly stated that he believed that Luhnow was the first one to hack into their system, and he was doing so in retaliation to that. So seeing how this investigation has gone with the sign-stealing scandal, do you guys think it's possible that maybe Correa's allegations that the Astros were the first ones to break into their system, do you think there's any merit to that?
Wow. Never know. Josh, I would not. Look, I'm now to a point where I'm skeptical of everything.
Nothing would surprise me.
Nothing would surprise me.
I always thought, though, the guy who, Correa, the guy who was with St. Louis came from Houston, right?
Yes.
He originally worked under Houston.
Yes.
And then he knew because they didn't change passwords. And
exactly.
Or so he said. I don't know if it was more complicated than that.
Jeff, you had to have changed your opinion on the Astros as well. Because I remember, and again, you had no knowledge of any of this happening at the time. But I remember having deep baseball conversations about how, well, the Astros just do it differently. They teach different things. Well, They're ahead of the curve. And
yes, that was the one thing. So the one thing that is so pronounced in terms of like everything the Astros have done or what you looked at statistically, you would say, everybody in the league, the strikeouts are going up across baseball. And the Astros, as a team, their pitching staff led baseball in strikeouts. Okay, fine. You've got a bunch of flamethrowers, and you're doing better analytical work about getting batters out. That makes sense. You've got guys like Verlander and Cole.
But
in addition, all their hitters, they led baseball in walks, but also led baseball in the least amount of strikeouts. That is almost an impossibility because the more pitches you take, the more likely you are to strike out. Even if you're benefiting by getting walks more often, it's just not, it's hard to do. Unless, of course, you maybe know what pitches are coming. And yeah, I think everything that they've done that I praised and was like, I don't know what they're doing, but this black magic, you got to figure it out because they're ahead of everybody else. Oh, it was a code breaker.
Could you, I mean, is there a way that other teams use technology to circumvent rules, not to the same degree that the Astros did, but is there a way for people to use in-game technology that could have given them a bit of an advantage? Again, not in the way that the Astros used, but are the other 28 teams, or let's say 25 or 26, 27 teams' hands completely clean? Or were other people using technology to help them do things? Maybe not this egregious.
I think yes. I don't think it's just the Astros or the Astros and Red Sox.
No, and it is. That's the one thing, like I asked you guys at the end of the show yesterday. It is easy to completely rip the Astros because they went above and beyond what you think is ethical as a, you know, competitor. But you cannot tell me that people around, part of the reason I think the Astros were driven to go to the lengths that they did were because there's lots of things surrounding the Dodgers in baseball. I don't know all of them. I'm not running in inner baseball circles, so I don't know what all the deep rumors are about them.
These guys also, Jeff, had to know. Like baseball, it's a fraternity, like all sports. Like, you can't tell me the guys on the Astros, everything was buttoned up and nobody knew or heard or talked or did
it. Beltran didn't care because it was his last year and he was the ringleader.
But I mean,
so
like,
he was out.
Well, like, other guys around the league, I mean, you
and
go...
There's thoughts that, look, like what Beltran and the Astros were able to do stems from some of this, like, the belief that what Beltran was doing with the Yankees. Like, not necessarily with the video equipment and the replays, but they were stealing signs using technology in some way, and that's probably what the Astros upped the ante when Carlos Beltran got
and
there.
I'm just skeptical that, like, it's, boy, these Astros, they were the only bad, you know, the only bad character here. Well, we'll find out what happened with the Red Sox. And to me, usually these things are...
Well, just like with Barry Bonds. Why did Barry Bonds start cheating? Because he knew McGuire and Sosa were cheating. And he wanted to get in on the home run derby. So when teams knew about the Astros, they're like, well, we got to keep up with the arms race.
Yeah, I don't want to recklessly accuse other teams of doing what the Astros did. I'm just telling you I'm skeptical that it ends there.
I'm with you. John Lester, we'll ask him about this. And he's 36 years old. How much does John Lester have in the tank, and what are his expectations for this Cubs team? John Lester joins us in 2 minutes.